Hi there. Welcome to Alone But Not Lonely, the site for the single person learning to become comfortable with living alone, not necessarily by choice, but due to circumstances and a lack of viable selections. I am Selena, your host on this journey. Before we begin, please accept this as a disclaimer. I do not offer advice. I only offer suggestions. I offer suggestions so that the person listening may exercise his or her right to choose. What worked for me may not necessarily work for you. Now, having said that, let's begin our journey. Today's journey is named Depression. This is the fourth step in the Grieving Process series. It's important to understand that few individuals rarely experience the steps of the grieving process in order. In fact, many people vacillate between denial, anger, compromise, and depression many times prior to reaching acceptance. So, depending on what a person may be grieving and the intensity of the connection to the thing being grieved, in other words, there is not a set time period for how long it takes one to accept what initially appears to be an unacceptable situation. If you've been following these podcasts about the grieving process, you may recall that on the first day of school, I introduced my students to the five steps of the grieving process: denial, anger, compromise, suppression, and acceptance. By way of review, upon receiving a five-paragraph essay about the American dream on the first day of class, students experience denial. This, of course, occurs when the mind can't quite make sense of what either has been said, seen, or done, resulting in the mind experiencing a state of confusion or disbelief, if you will. We also spoke about how students may experience short-lived anger, sometimes causing the student to switch from my class on the very first day. We also considered how compromise may result in the student negotiating with him or herself to modify or change the request being made in order to attempt to create some sort of win-win situation. In this instance, they might write three paragraphs instead of five. So here we are today at the fourth stage, depression. Many of us can recognize this stage better than most of the other stages. Sometimes we call it a pity party, sulking, pouting, and many other names. The way depression may manifest itself relative to a class assignment could be as follows. After struggling with whether to complete the assignment at all, yeah, imagine that. Some students actually take doing homework as a suggestion. Well, after struggling with whether to complete the assignment at all, the student may go home, eat a small snack, then go straight to sleep. Most people handle depression by either eating or sleeping, although there are other ways. Many people might even do both. If the student has always been a conscientious one, the thought of failure might weigh heavily on the mind. Sleep, however, may be just the thing that the student actually needs, because this will cause him or her to stop focusing on the problem. Perhaps once they've had a short nap, they'll wake up with a new attitude, maybe a bit more refreshed. Now, the second scenario is the application of the grieving process to the death of a loved one. This is the situation in which we're most familiar with grieving. In past podcasts, we've discussed what and how denial, anger, and compromise manifest themselves when we lose someone whom we love. On November 3rd of this year, my dad's baby brother passed away. I attended my favorite uncle's funeral, Uncle Elsie. Oh my God, the pain, the denial, the tears. There was neither any anger or compromise, just denial. And of course, depression. Oh, the tears. I was regretting not barging in on them during spring break while I was visiting Disney. So I was close by and I'd planned to visit the family as well as my other aunt. In fact, I actually phoned Uncle Elsie's home to let them know I was close by and would be in their town the next day. But my aunt said that he was unable to speak with me, so I chatted with her for a few minutes, and then I asked if I could stop by the next day and actually say hello. But my aunt requested that I wait until a later day in the week. However, that Tuesday was the day that I actually had tickets for Disney. So there I sat at the funeral, crying. I was depressed, to be sure. Depressed about my decision not to swing by their house for a couple of minutes just to say hello. And even though the day was about my uncle passing, yeah, I was feeling sorry for myself. Sorry for Selena. And I lived in that for a little while. And then I began to empathize with the family's loss, having lost both my dad and my mom, as well as my younger brother. And so I empathized with their loss, that of my aunt, my uncle's children, his sons, and their wonderful grandchildren. And then I looked at my two remaining beautiful aunts and was surrounded by my cousins and just a host of family members. Then, as I listened to the family sharing their memories, I too remember when my Uncle Elsie and Aunt Andrea came to my college graduation. Because my dad had already passed, Uncle Elsie, he came to my graduation to stand in for my dad. And God, I love both him and my aunt for their unselfishness. Unfortunately, throughout the years, I have taken advantage of the opportunity to thank Uncle Elsie for caring enough about me to make that sacrifice, because it really meant the world to me, as well as to my two sons. But I mentioned my father, as I have in the past. And I mentioned him relative to compromise. And I shared that for many years I was continually negotiating and renegotiating with myself as a way of attempting to move towards accepting my dad's permanent absence, if you would. And it would lead me in and out of depression, but not for long periods of time, you know, because I set time limits on those kinds of things. Because, you know, depression can, of course, become just a bottomless pit and feeling sorry for oneself or having pity parties, even as a result of the loss of a loved one, it is not recommended at all. Because many people have succumbed to a broken heart. They've succumbed to missing a loved one. So, you know, depression is a place where one does not need to visit for a very long period of time. And I caution everyone to be extremely careful with this phase of grief, because it can literally sap the life out of a person. And many times, this type of depression, and please don't confuse this with clinical depression, which is a type of depression that one needs to seek professional help for. This is depression brought on by the grieving of something that has been taken away from us or something we cannot have. So this type of depression, it manifests itself as a quietness wherein a person can't stop thinking about the one who is no longer in their life. And the person may sleep to escape reality. They may attempt to escape responsibility for even participating in life. And this might be described as a type of lethargy that's characterized by maudlin disinterest in life itself. So, you know, as I've previously warned, a person really does not want to spend an exorbitant amount of time in a state of depression. It is very dangerous to continually feel sorry for oneself. Extremely dangerous. So, as a side note, while I'm thinking about it, one of the reasons I do spend time speaking with people about the grieving process is so that individuals will be aware of what is normal, if you want, you know, to use a term. What's normal when grieving? Now, it is normal to become depressed. It's normal to be angry. It's normal to not want to accept what has occurred. And, you know, all these things occur, particularly when someone has died. It is definitely normal to become depressed. And it's okay to become depressed off and on over several months, might even be years. But it is not normal to continuously remain depressed for days and months on end. That is not normal. So, do like I do. I suggest it. I set a time limit on how long I'm going to feel sorry for myself. Or throughout in a particular day, set a time limit, you know, have a little pity party, and then move on for that day. I can experience it again the next day, but I set like 10-minute limits for myself. Okay, then. So, the third scenario about which we've been speaking of grieving are those suffering from alcoholism or drug addiction who are in denial about their disease, and then they become angry that they either can no longer drink like a normal person or that they can't stop drinking once they start. A person who makes many compromises in an attempt to prove that either he's not addicted or that he can drink like a normal person. However, the crux of depression ebbs and flows with the addict. Things he has done while under the influence causes this person to become depressed. Just thinking about being out of control can make him feel sorry for himself. A pity party may continue ad infinitum. And with the addict, because the more he drinks or drugs to escape reality, the more depressed he becomes. And unfortunately, the addict fails to understand that the chemical makeup of alcohol is, in and of itself, a depressant. So that vicious cycle, and yes, it is a vicious cycle, it will continue as long as this person is active in his addiction. So while actually grieving the realization that he may be suffering from the disease of alcoholism or drug addiction or just addiction itself. Woo. Okay, now, so the final example we've considered in the past has been about relationships, because we do grieve those. The young lady who we've been discussing believes that she and her guy are in an exclusive relationship. We've witnessed her expressing denial, anger, rage, and as a compromise, she continued negotiating with herself whether to accept this cheater back into her life. This continual rationalization of the situation inflicts upon this young lady emotional confusion, which many times leads to depression, manifesting itself as uncontrollable crying, extensive escape through sleeping, withdrawing from her friends, not responding to phone calls, isolation, perhaps increased use of alcohol to relax, or maybe some other substance or substances that may aid in her dealing with what may very well has been a cataclysmic event in her life. This, of course, results in this young lady feeling sorry for herself, having to suffer the embarrassment of being duped by a philanderer, no less, who has probably played this emotional trick on many women before her. She may even be going about her day in a relatively perfunctory way. Nevertheless, the whole event inflicted upon her, seemingly through no fault of her own, causes her to continually feel sorry for herself. Feel sorry that she's allowed this guy to fool her. Or, worse yet, in her mind, to make a fool out of her. Well, so here we are with four totally different scenarios of grieving. Either something we did not or could not have, or someone we have lost or who has wronged us. Now, do let us remember, however, that the goal, the ultimate goal, of course, is to make it to acceptance. So, having gone through denial, anger, compromise, and now depression, hopefully a person will actually experience the culminating stage of grief, which is acceptance. Until next time, this is Selena, your host for Alone But Not Lonely. Thank you for listening.